Hi, I'm Julia and welcome to the Emerge podcast. Today I'm speaking to Kirsty Ferguson from Step 2. And do you want to tell me a bit about this organisation?
Yeah, so Step 2 is an organisation. We're called Step 2 Young People's Health because we work with young people around all aspects of health. So it's our 30th year this year, and we got set up by some young people in Homewood because somebody had a pregnancy scare and they didn't know what to do and they didn't know where to go, and there wasn't anybody working with young people around sexual health. So they spoke to their youth worker. So Step 1 was finding the problem. Step 2 was finding somebody that would do the job. So the youth worker found some funding, and that's how Step 2 got set up a long time ago. Yeah, and we still do sexual health with young people, but we've also branched out into like healthy relationships. We're going to lots of different schools, and we do work around mental health, and we've also got a counselling service.
That's amazing. Welcome, Kirsty, to the podcast.
Thank you.
So I'd like to find out more about you, who you are and where you're from.
Okay, so obviously I'm Kirsty Ferguson, and I live in Bradford with my two boys and a dog. I've got a whippet called Winnie, and I moved to Bradford by choice. I grew up in Northamptonshire and moved here to study. I studied social work, so my background is in social work, and I worked in child protection for a good few years. And got into working at Step 2 because I'd stopped social work to have my kids, and the job came up and somebody suggested that I went for it. So I'd not done sexual health before, but 10 years down the line and I'm still there, still doing it. So it obviously has gone okay.
10 years is a good amount of time.
A long time.
Yeah. Why did you choose this job?
I think sexual health is a really important thing to talk around, mm-hmm. talk about for young people, because it's such a taboo subject. You know, all teenagers want to know about it, but nobody's, very few young people feel able to talk about it with their parents, with their teachers. And so we know that young people get information from sources like the internet, which aren't always the most reliable. Mm-hmm. So it's something that I feel quite passionate about, that young people can be educated and educated well, and that they're in a space where they're comfortable enough to ask the questions.
Of course, yeah. What do you think about sex ed in schools today?
I think it's an interesting one, and it has evolved quite a lot. So when I was at school, you know, I think, I think back even before that, when my dad was at school, there wasn't any sex ed and it wasn't a done thing. You know, he talked to his mum about changes that were happening to his body, and his mum went, you know, and hit him because she was so ashamed that he talked about stuff like that. And my education was not that much different. I had a science teacher who said, "Oh, I hate this lesson, just read the book," you know, which was rubbish. Yeah, and even mine at home, my mum was still like, she was a nurse, but she was still like, "Just read a book," which was great, but I was dyslexic, so I didn't know how to say half the words. So I don't want young people to have those experiences. I want them to be equipped and to know the words, to have the language, to know what's right, to know what's legal, and to know what's not right.
Of course.
And to know when they need to speak up about that.
So I've had experience, me and my friends, with boys. And as a 15-year-old girl, it's not the best. That's why I thought it'd be interesting to talk to you today. What was your experience like when you was my age with teenage boys?
So I think I was really lucky, if I'm honest. Yeah. I had a really nice lot of friends. I used to hang around with a load of lads, and they were lovely for the majority.
Oh, gosh.
However, there were some that you knew were not okay, that were horrible to you, that would say nasty things to you, that would treat you in a way that wasn't acceptable. But I think back to when I was younger and at school, that sort of stuff was sort of, you didn't complain about that much. So, you know, I know most of my women friends have been assaulted one way or another in a club. You know, they've been touched inappropriately, or, you know, because that has been the culture. And I think nowadays, thankfully, things have changed and women are starting to speak up about these sorts of things, which is a great thing. But I think that has shifted the way that boys and girls interact a little bit. And so I think for some boys, they're just a bit unsure. The rules have been rewritten yeah. for them almost, and they're not sure what they are.
Yeah, that's very true. Who is Andrew Tate, and why do you think boys look up to him nowadays?
So Andrew Tate is a guy, and he's been around for quite a while. So he started out, I think, in Big Brother and got kicked out because of some of the stuff that had gone on. Yeah. So he's a guy that's got a massive social media presence. He's also set up a university, but I don't mean like a proper university. Yeah. It's basically a course for blokes to... achieve what they or get what they want from life. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that is quite misogynistic, very masculine, and that toxic masculinity, yeah. you know, the stuff that I've seen people are fighting. I don't know why they would do that, but it's all about bravado, about being very muscly, about being very rich, about getting the girls that you want. So sort of this, yeah, so the stereotype of what a man should be, or what the stereotype, which is totally wrong. Yeah. You know, like I was saying, some of the lads that I went to school with were the loveliest guys ever. You know, but we have this stereotype, and we still have it today, that yeah. men should be, they shouldn't talk about their feelings, mm-hmm. they should be strong, they should be protectors, and us little women should do as we're told.
Stay in the kitchen.
Yeah, and Andrew Tate openly says, you know, that he believes all that,
yeah.
that he thinks women need to be protected. And that it's men's job to protect them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand that. I live on my own with my kids who I'm perfectly fine. I can do everything.
That you should
go. Yeah, too right. You know, I've got to book 100 things that women don't need a man to do.
Don't need a man.
Yeah, and so I think it's an interesting thing that Andrew Tate is selling this idea to boys. And because of things like YouTube mm-hmm. and because of social media and stuff like that, he is getting shared and getting a lot of people that are very interested. And the way that the algorithms work, in that even if I searched for him in a negative, it still bumps him up people's agenda. So it's a really difficult one. But he portrays that, you know, it's easy to get rich and this is how you should be. And it's super good for everybody to have aspirations in life.
Yeah.
But the aspirations that Andrew Tate sets for boys are very unrealistic.
Yeah.
Very unrealistic. Which I think is really hard for boys, because if that's what they want...
It's not going to be that easy.
No. So it's really hard for boys.
Really. So we're going to go back. In time, back in the day, men were doing most of the stuff, most jobs, and women again would be at home. Now that the world is dominated by both men and women, what do you think men's role in society is now?
I think that's a really difficult question. Because, you know, like you say, if we look back pre-war, so we're talking a long time ago, but pre-war, it was women stayed at home for the majority. I know not everybody, but for the majority, women stayed at home. They did, you know, the cooking and the cleaning and looked after the babies. And men used to go to work. Like my nan used to tell me of when she first got married, her boss assumed that she would stop working. And she had to get my granddad's permission. So my granddad had to speak to her boss to say, yes, I allow my wife to work. So we've had a massive shift since then. And I think what happened was in the Second World War was that women, because men weren't around, they were off fighting, you know, doing their bit, which was amazing. The women picked up all the labour jobs, you know. My dad used to have a poster of Marilyn Monroe, who was really famous at the time, with a big aeroplane propeller. Because that was one of the jobs that she did. I'm not sure she actually did. In the war.
Yeah.
So women filled the jobs of men. And then when the men came back, they were like, right, we're back. We're heroes. We've won the war. We'll go back to our work. And the women were like, oh, hold up. Hang on.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. And as good, if not better than you guys. So I think women got a taste of what they could do. And then that kicked off, like, you know, the women's liberation stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and you're moving through history in the 60s, and you know, there was a lot of women lib stuff, which was fab. But then we're at a place now. So if we think about the roles of guys over the last few years, it has changed massively. You know, because they have always been in charge almost. I think not really, though, because in a lot of relationships, it doesn't work like that. But in the hierarchy of our society, they have. And because of that change, you know, men aren't going off to war anymore. So where do they get that? Because they've always gone off to war, historically, for hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of years.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore, which is great, because we don't agree with war and we don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
But what are these guys doing instead?
Yeah.
And where are they putting their energies? And what have they got to fight for? You know, and it's not necessarily about the action of fighting, but what is their passion? And I think that's quite difficult for guys. I don't feel like they've got a space in society as well defined as they used to have.
I agree, yeah. Like boys that play sports or...
Yeah, it is really hard, isn't it? Because you get, especially at school, you get fitted into the, are you sporty?
Yeah.
As a boy. Definitely. You know, are you unique as a boy? Are you into things like theatre or musical theatre? And it feels like they can't combine. Which is sad, really, because, you know, we need boys that are playing football one minute and then knitting the next minute.
Yeah,
you know, I think Tom Daly, who's the diver, is a really good example of that, because he's, you know, proper fit, proper buff in his tiny little shorts, but then does some amazing sporting diving manoeuvres and then goes and sits in the stands and knits himself a little hat. So, yeah, I think that's a good thing.
What do you think we need to rethink about how we look at boys?
I think there's still a lot of prejudice. You know, if we were saying this about girls... It, you know, if a boy was saying, why are boys so bad, or why are girls so bad, we'd be like, hey, boy, you're out of order saying that.
Yeah.
And so it feels like we've still got quite a journey to go on, because equality isn't there yet. So for a girl to cry in the playground, her friends would come round and go, oh, I'm sorry, you okay? If a boy was to cry in a playground, he would just get ridiculed and taken the mickey out of forever. And so it feels like we've still got a way to go with equality, and we aren't equal yet, and we still have got a long way to go. But from the guys that I know, yeah, there are loads of guys with some quite worrying attitudes, particularly towards girls or people who aren't sort of your straight, white, you know, person, able-bodied, you know, there's all these sort of stereotypes that, or how you fit into being a boy or fit into being a girl. But I think for boys, it's just a really tricky place to be at the minute.
Definitely.
How that will change, in my opinion, is for boys to start to be able to stand up and to speak up. But at this age, as a teenager, that is such a big ask for a boy, because they will take so much flack. And I look at it from a perspective as an adult. And when I go to meetings about violence against women and girls, it's just full of women. Where are the men? And it feels like the men are not quite, the adult men, not just boys, the adult men aren't willing to champion our cause. Partly because they're not the ones getting killed. They're not the one getting beaten. So I understand why they're not there, but it feels like we just need a few good men to start to make ripples.
Yeah.
to change the way that things are for them.
Hopefully we do get that for the boys.
I think we will. I'm hopeful. I am absolutely hopeful that I will look back in 10 years' time and it has moved massively from when I was at school 20 years ago. You know, 10 years from now, I think, yeah, I'm going to look back and there are going to be massive changes and there are going to be boys standing up and shouting out and being proud to be a boy in their identity, no matter what that is, and nicer to girls.
Yeah, that's what we need in this generation. But it's been so great to talk to you. And where can people find out more about this if they wanted to?
So Step 2 has got a very good website. So we are, if you just Google Step 2 Bradford, that will bring it up. We're also on our social media. So we've got Instagram, which is Step 2 YPH, Young People's Health. So have a look, check us out. We're on Twitter, Facebook, hopefully TikTok soon, but who knows? I'm not dancing for that.
Well, thank you so much, Kirsty.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.